Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. This morning I want to talk to you about heavenly places. They are holy places too, but heavenly places. And it mentions it five times in the book of Ephesians. Heavenly places. Doesn't that sound intriguing to you?
Amen.
Heavenly places. And I'm going to ask, where are you? You know, God said Adam and Eve were hiding amongst the trees of the garden, and the Lord said, "Where art thou? Where art thou, Adam?" He knew where they were physically. He wasn't talking about their location. Where are you? I can't find you. No, God was saying, "Where are you, Adam? What has happened to you? Where? What is your state? What has happened? They have fallen in sin and they're separated from God." They were actually at that point already dead in transgressions and sins. God said, "In the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." And so they had fallen. And God says, "Where art thou?" And I'll ask that of you today. Where are you? Well, if you're in Jesus Christ, you're in heavenly places. Amen. Ephesians 2, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." That is, He has made us alive. "Together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Amen. Would have been enough just to be forgiven our sins, wouldn't it? But that's not enough for God. He has raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. "For those in Christ, things have happened to us that are the result of Jesus' death and resurrection. Some are apparent to us and some are not." Some things are immediately apparent when we are born again. We are physically no different. You come up out of the water of baptism and you still look the same. You still have the same family and problems. But there, some things have clearly changed. When you're born again, there's this lifting of guilt. You repented of your sins and you came to God because of this guilt and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And when you come to Jesus, He washes away your sin, and now you're clean. So guilt is lifted. It's like in the Pilgrim's Progress, the burden was lifted off of his back. That's apparent. And also, we have this new found love for God. Love and thanks and praise to Him for changing us, for forgiving us. We also have a desire for holiness, desire to live a holy life. That comes with being born again. You're a new creature. And we have the love of the brethren. All of a sudden you love these people you'd never met before, but they love Jesus and so you love them. And then also we have the fruit of the Spirit. These are in different measures to different degrees, but at least to some extent we have this love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. All these things God works in us and we see a change. But there are some things that we know have happened to us only by faith. Because God said it happened. That's how we know it. And this is one of those things. Sitting in heavenly places, you wouldn't know that unless God told you it. They are spiritual realities. They are seen by faith and not by sight. So we can experience it and know it by believing what God has said. And He said, you have been raised together to sit in heavenly places in Christ, or with Christ. Yeah, in Christ. We're obviously talking about a spiritual realm. Heavenly places is a spiritual realm. It, when we say spiritual, it doesn't mean it's not real. We're not saying it's not real. It's spiritual. It's not physical, but it is very much real. It is a world, a spiritual world all around us. There are principalities and powers there. It is the place of spiritual battles and conflict. People who aren't born again are just blind to all the whole spiritual realm. They're just blind to it. They go about their life as if things just happen by chance and they fall into the snare of the devil. But the saints are dealing in this spiritual realm. We're doing battle there. Heavenly places. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, remember, He said, you're a master in Israel and you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we know, what we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? See, these heavenly things are only understood by those who are born again. See, all of a sudden, the spiritual realm, you're alive to the spiritual realm when you're born again. We were like those, the Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones. We had no life in us. Even the bones were scattered one from another. But God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, and then the bones started coming together. And then they stood up, and flesh came upon the bones, and they stood up an exceeding great army. And then God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind. And he prophesied to the wind, and the Spirit of God came into them. And they came alive, an exceeding great army. Well, that's what God has done to us. He has made us a new creature, alive to Him, and He's put His Spirit within us. So the fact that we can inhabit heavenly places is only because God has put His Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit is our interaction with heavenly things. Jesus said to the Jews, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that was where Jesus was telling them, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no life in you. So Jesus was saying, He's talking about spiritual things. The words I speak to you, they are spiritual, or spirit and life. The flesh profits nothing. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus said, when the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you. It is a spiritual kingdom. And we are spiritually alive because God has put His Spirit in us. We were dead in transgressions and sins, but Jesus came to make us alive. Mm-hmm. He said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And we have heard His voice, and we have been made alive. Amen. Though there's no physical outward change, we are alive to God. Many things are changed, but now we're talking about spiritual things. Romans 8 even makes this clearer, the differentiation between spirit and flesh. Romans 8, verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death." To be carnally minded is death. "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh." Isn't that good to know? "Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." So we are not carnally minded anymore, we're spiritually minded. The battles that we wage are spiritual battles. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So this is to emphasize that we are in a spiritual kingdom. Now, heavenly places, let's look at the five times it mentions it in Ephesians first. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." I really like that word "all" there. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's the place of blessing. It's the blessings we seek are not carnal, but spiritual. Spiritual blessings. Then if you go down to verse 19... this was Paul's prayer for them. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." He uses that word "places" again, like a location. That's where Christ has been raised to sit. And it says, "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come." So Christ is the pinnacle of the heavenly places. He's seated there. But the power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that's at work in us. That's what verse 19 says. Now if you go over to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, the heavenly places is the location of spiritual principalities and powers. Ephesians 3, verse 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." So in this spiritual realm, there are principalities and powers. These are rulers. They are heavenly beings, and they're learning something from the church. They are watching the church from the spiritual realm, and they're observing something about God. The manifold wisdom of God, it says. This isn't in the future. It says, now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And so there are spiritual beings that are observing the church of Jesus Christ. You're watching people be tempted by Satan and overcoming and saying no to ungodliness and worldly lusts. They're watching the people of God pray and bring about spiritual changes. They're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. They are doing things, accomplishing things in God's kingdom. And these principalities and powers are seeing in this the manifold wisdom of God. That He could take us, fallen, rebellious, wicked people, and change us and make us to do His will. So then in chapter 6 also, this is there's a little different. There are also evil powers in the heavenly places. So we are to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that high places is the same as heavenly places. So it's talking about the spiritual world. And we do battle there. There are principalities and powers of the darkness. Spiritual wickedness, it says. What we know of this is that it seems to be the fallen angels, the angels that kept not their first estate, it says in Jude. And Jesus encountered demons on the earth. There was demon possession at that time. Maybe there still is, but these are spiritual forces that are rallied against Christ, against God, and against His Christ, and trying to subvert God's will. And He's using us to battle them. Praise God. Okay, that was 4, but then the 5th one is our text today. Is that He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, in heavenly places, is this talking about now? It says, He hath raised us up. He says, this is already done. You're already raised up in heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that glorious to know? Yeah, I think if we're more aware of this, we would be less casual about dealing with things in this world. If you realize you're seated with Christ, the Holy Lamb of God, you're in heavenly places. You can't take that and be joined to things of this world. It's a high position. It's a high calling. But sometimes people live poorly just because they don't know that they're raised up to heavenly places. And like Colossians, Paul told them, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Why are you living as if you're just living here? You're not living here. You're raised up. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We can't live as if there is no spiritual realm. That's carnally minded. And that's death. So it is now. We are raised up now. We are in heavenly places this morning. Hebrews 12:22 says, "Ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." So we have already come to the new Jerusalem. Right now we have it by faith. We are there because of what we know God has said. One day it's going to be revealed and we'll finally realize the full extent of it. But we can experience it now, the heavenly places. Romans 6 talks about as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And then in Colossians 3, verse 1, remember he asked this question, "If ye then be risen with Christ," are you? Have you been risen with Christ? He said, "Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." Then Colossians 2, verse 11 says, "We're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Amen. So we are made alive. Well, I wanted to share some things then in closing that are what it means to be in heavenly places. What is this talking about? Heavenly places are the place of light, the place of holiness. As we are there, we are dwelling in this pure thoughts, pure mindset, holy purpose, holy desires. In the heavenly places, we have an earnest, the earnest of the Spirit. Ephesians 1, verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." So we have the Holy Spirit in us, that Holy Spirit that bears fruit within us, that Holy Spirit that is that still small voice telling us, "This is the way, walk ye in it." The Spirit that convicts us of sin. That's heavenly places. We're there as we're listening to him and being led by the Spirit. And as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Heavenly places are the place of fellowship with God. Now, notice in the text in Ephesians how many times he talked about with Christ. He said, "We're quickened together with Christ." With Christ. "And we have been raised up together," it says. That means with Christ. "And we're made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ." the emphasis is always on Christ. Christ is there. That's why we're there. And that means that we have an audience with God. We are in the presence of God in heavenly places. Before, we couldn't even look upon it. We couldn't draw near to God. But Christ has made the way. He has made us accepted. And He invites us to come and draw near. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You got to make this personal, brethren. You got to see this. Jesus is talking about you. If you love him, the Father will love you, and they will come and make their abode in you. So we have, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, he says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. It's that place. Heavenly places are where we draw nigh to God, where we get our attention off of earthly things, and we get our attention on God and on His Word and what He said and how He's leading. But we can draw near there. In fact, we can come boldly to the throne of grace even in our time of need, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Even when we need to get mercy, we can still come boldly because Christ has paid the price for our sin. Heavenly places are where truth is seen and understood. So the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. But Christ opens our eyes. First Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak not with words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So because we've been raised up to heavenly places, we can have this spiritual discernment. We can receive the things of the Spirit of God. One of the greatest joys in this life is to look in the Scripture and to have God open your eyes and to see what it's saying, what it means. Just to see clearly what God has said to us. That is one of the greatest joys. And Peter urged the people to take heed. They have a more sure word of prophecy, he said, to which you do well to take heed until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. It's like until you get this illumination. And that's done in heavenly places. In heavenly places, we are free from the dominion of sin. I say dominion because, regrettably, we do sin. But it is not going to be our master. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's heavenly places. When you're walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And sin shall not be your master, for you are not under the law, but under grace. heavenly places are part of where we taste of heavenly substance. We taste of what it's going to be like in heaven in a small way, in a first fruit sense. But we really taste of what heaven is like when we're dealing in the spiritual realm. In Hebrews 6, he was talking about those who fall away, but he said, to validate their true conversion, he says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come." These are all legitimate experiences of someone who's born again. We taste of the heavenly gift. So heavenly places is elsewhere talked about like being in the Spirit. John was on Patmos and he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." He was in heavenly places. Now, I know spiritually you've already been raised there. You are there. But you, as you walk in the Spirit, your mindset is there. You're realizing this. And you're living in the understanding of that reality. And then we can endure hardness here by knowing heavenly places. We have an inheritance. We have substance there. Paul said that the people, the Hebrews, took joyfully the spoiling of their goods, knowing that in heaven they have a better and an enduring substance. So our substance is there. Our treasure is laid up there. It's in heavenly places. And it also means because we're in heavenly places, we don't have to be caught up with the things in this world. It's like an escape. Mm-hmm. This world is crashing down and is ready to be judged and destroyed, but we can dwell in heavenly places. Amen. Satan was cast down to the earth, and he's filled with fury because he has but a short time. He's wreaking havoc on the earth. But we have been raised up with Christ. And so, if we have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So that's some of the ideas about what it means to be in heavenly places. I'm sure there's much, much more than that. But does anyone else have any comments or thoughts you'd like to share?
Just the pure thoughts. You painted a very clear picture of what heavenly places are. And I liked your emphasis on walking in the Spirit and setting our things on things above. And as we live and do these things, we know that we're on the right track because it says that we don't want to be overcome with cares of this world because storms will blow up and choke out any good fruit we can do. So we need to really resist being overcome with the cares of this world.
Yes, amen.
When you were speaking, I was thinking of Isaiah 6, Ezekiel, when the Spirit took him, and he saw the wheels and stuff, John and Alan and Patmos, all these, Paul, when he was taken up into the third heaven, think of all these men that wrote down their experiences in the heavenly realm.
Yeah.
And they were all in the Spirit, and they all had a change, so to say. I mean, they all had something to say, and it was a glorious thing that they had seen. But everybody, I mean, all these examples of people being taken up and shown the things of the heavenly realm.
Yeah.
It was all amazing thing, and they had sights that they could not comprehend.
Amen.
But I really like how you brought out the light and the truth and all those things that we have now because of the heavenly realm, because we've been taken up and sat together.
Amen. Well, you don't want to have your interactions be just based on your sight. You see someone and you're just carnally minded, you just see, you make some judgment about them and go on and either avoid them or whatever. But you're spiritually minded, you see someone, you see a soul, an eternal soul. Mm-hmm. And you start thinking, where are they? Do they know Jesus? If they do they need encouragement? Are they discouraged? Are they being tempted? See, spiritual activity is going on all around us, so we don't want to be ignorant to it. Maybe one of your brothers or sisters is being tempted right now, and just a word of strengthening, encouragement, will give them victory.
Amen.
So we must be aware. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. All right, let's stand together.